Good morning to each of you. Good to see you all here. Good to be gathered in this house of worship. And special welcome to mothers, and happy Mother's Day to each of you. I like Herbert Farnham's, what he has put together about mothers. God's masterpiece is mother. God took the fragrance of a flower, the majesty of a tree, the gentleness of morning dew, the calm of a quiet sea, the beauty of the starlit hour, the soul of a starry night, the laughter of a rippling brook, the grace of a bird in flight. Then God fashioned from these things a creation like no other, and when his masterpiece was through, he called it simply mother. To all mothers here this morning, thank you very much for what you do for your family. Thank you very much for what you do for your home and for the church family. Had to think of that, especially with our activities yesterday and surrounding school. And I don't want to slight the school board and all that they do and the teachers and all that they do, but I had to think about all the mothers behind the scene that make school really successful. And so, again, God bless you. Your role is very important. Being a mother impacts many people. And what's important this morning is God designed the role of a mother. This is more than man's idea. This is a God-designed thing. And godly mothers attract people to God. I had to ponder that, and I'll leave that. I'll let you pass that thought on to you for your consideration. God uses mothers to advance his kingdom. Think about people. Think about society. Think about everything. We need mothers. And that is also a part of his kingdom work. Just the fact of childbearing, child rearing, being a mother. Abraham Lincoln, he was one of the more famous presidents of our nation, and he lost his mother at the age of 9. And he is to have said these different remarks. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. And also, he said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. And he had this mother for 9 years. Also, he said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. As we look into the life of Jesus, it's obvious that he had a close relationship with his mother. His first miracle, his mother was involved with that. And I think one of the most touching scenes as you think of Jesus and his mother was on the cross. His mother was standing there. His aunt was standing there. Jesus was in agony, dying. He had a lot more to think about than his mother. And Jesus, therefore, John records this, Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, who we know as John. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Where was Jesus' father? Where was her husband? Where was Jesus' 4 brothers and 2 sisters? Would they care for their mother? Now, we don't know all the details about Jesus' family, but we do know that Jesus was concerned about his mother. I'm blessed by that this morning. This morning, if you have a Christian mother who deeply cares about you, you have a gift from God that is worth far more than what you will ever realize. And I understand this morning that Mother's Day is a day that's packed with a lot of feelings and emotions. And Mother's Day can stir a lot of memories, a lot of emotions. All our life stories are different. And the reality of living life this morning is that not everyone has pleasant memories about mother. And I believe regardless of our situation this morning, we should thank God for our mother and the one who gave us life. And maybe that's not exactly a happy story. Hopefully it is for most of us. But we should also always look for the positives in whatever experience that God has allowed us to face. And I say that again to emphasize the fact that if you have a godly Christian mother, maybe she's not perfect, but give an extra big thank you to God for that. I'm thankful this morning to have a Christian godly mother who I can still communicate with. Also thankful for a godly Christian mother-in-law. Also thankful for the blessings of the mother of my children and all she does for our family. And it's just a blessing. And I realize this morning that maybe this is the first Mother's Day that you are without your mother. So God bless you and give you grace today for that as well. Treasure the moments. They pass so quickly. And the reality of a mother that we can talk to and have in our life can so suddenly be gone. So may God bless you in however you are relating to this thing of Mother's Day. Title of the message this morning is, Her Children Arise Up and Call Her Blessed. Her children arise up and call her blessed. And I'm not sure that I've ever heard anybody calling their mother blessed. Usually it's something like mom or mother or some version of that. Do you call your mom blessed? Well, I'm hoping this morning that each of us can see the blessing of having a godly mother, and more so I want this morning to be an encouragement to our mothers to be such that their children can rise up and call them blessed. And you probably know that these words are found in Proverbs 31, and we will go there this morning for our text. Proverbs 31, we want to read this chapter and glean a few thoughts from it. And while we're talking to the mothers this morning, I don't want the husbands and the fathers and the sons going to sleep, or those who God has not called to be a mother. We sometimes, and you may have heard somebody say, I think I've heard this, that being a mother is the highest calling for any woman. And I understand the sentiment behind that statement. But I want, and I say this to every lady here this morning, whether young or old, young girls listening in and wondering if someday maybe you will be a mother, that being a mother is a very high calling. And it is a God-given desire to be a mother. It is a good desire. It is a God-honoring desire to be a mother. However, the highest calling for any of you and anyone here this morning is to be in the will of God, to be what God wants you to be. If that is motherhood, then embrace it with all of your heart. If it's not motherhood, then embrace it with all of your heart. God has made you and He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you, and the best place for anybody to be is to be in the will of God. And to live His will wherever you find yourself. You know, Apostle Paul had some words to say about being married. And I'm not sure if I can agree with all that. And he acknowledged that these were his words, his opinions, not inspired. But he did make the point very clear that the highest calling for anyone is to be in the service of the Lord. And this morning, if you are a mother, serve God to the best of your ability. If you're not a mother, serve God to the best of your ability. Proverbs 31, I would like to read the whole chapter. It is definitely, has two parts to it, but I would like to start in at the beginning of this chapter. Because as you will note, this is a mother talking at the beginning. And I'll make a few more comments about that after we have read Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Is it not for kings, O Lemuel, is it not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink? It is not for kings. Let me highlight that. I didn't highlight that properly. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now these verses apply to more than mothers, but obviously this person here that is referred to was a mother because it talks about her children. The book of Proverbs generally describes two types of women, and I say this so that we can think about ourselves. Which one are we? One type is described as an adulteress, someone who forsakes her husband, someone who flatters, someone who is noisy and loud and foolish and rebellious and quarrelsome. The other type is as this woman that we find here in these verses. There is a proverb here, Proverb 12, verse 4 says, and it compares these two. Says a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Virtuous means decent, ethical, moral, nice, right-minded, straight, true, upright. How does that sound? The New King James Version uses the word excellent, an excellent woman. Do you consider yourself this morning an excellent woman? Verse 10, we have, who can find a virtuous wife? Who can find a virtuous woman? And that word simply means, in all its sense, it means all forms of excellence. And now I think that maybe you're feeling a little overwhelmed with this, and I don't want that to be the case. But I hope that we can be motivated and encouraged and also honor our mothers for what they do and who they are. You know, nothing is better than an excellent wife. Nothing is worse than the opposite. I say that not knowing what that is, but I put that out there. And we could say the same about mothers. And again, we don't need to go there. Knowing the blessings of a godly, excellent mother, and just to ponder what it must be like to have the opposite. We want this morning to be an encouragement to our mothers. And the first point I want to make this morning is actually from the first verses here. The words of this mother to her son. And I would like to make this point as kind of a foundational point going into the message is a godly mother will live her life in a way to validate the counsel she gives. It's kind of a long point, but a godly mother will live her life in a way that validates the counsel she gives. And we have here in Proverbs 31, it's a mother talking to her son, and her son became a king. Now, you don't know the future of all your children, their potential. This mother, her son became a king, and she is giving some general advice to her son. And in general, it was, keep yourself pure. That's in the verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women. And if we broke that all down and examine that verse, we would sum it up by saying, keep yourself pure. And then the other one is, do not let your mind be controlled with addictions. It talks about drink. There are so many other things that we can become addicted with. And this mother was telling her son, don't become addicted. Use good judgment. Now, this is good advice for a mother to give her son. And we could talk more about that. However, we want this to be for the mothers and not for the sons. But I do want our young men to maybe think about this for a moment. This is a passage that a mother told her son and was telling her son how to find a wife. What we will go into now is more of that in the rest of this chapter, starting in at verse 10. This is more of advice given to a son on how to find a wife. And again, as I said, it appears this son ended up being a king. And he, I believe, wrote down this advice. It appears that he wrote down this advice so that others could benefit. And I had to wonder whether he actually handed his mother's advice out to the other young men in his kingdom. In fact, this advice, if we, maybe somebody here knows Hebrew, but if you knew Hebrew, you would quickly understand that these 22 verses from 10 to 31 are written in a Hebrew acrostic. So every verse starts with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So this was written up very carefully so that somebody could easily memorize this. And again, it would be interesting to know how this was used or what it was for. But obviously, this was a big thing. And I'm saying that this morning for us to think about the importance of being a godly mother, being a virtuous woman, and also just throwing in a little thought here for the men as they are looking on and thinking about this part of life. So we have two thoughts here about mothers giving advice to their children. And I just want to say, again, highlight that before we move on. Maybe you're a mother with older children. And the fact is, a mother's counsel will only work if your children see you living how you say they should live. And for the younger mothers, live your life now in a way that you will not be ashamed to tell your children in years to come how they should live their life. And just imagine this morning, and this can be for all of us, but just imagine this morning that your life story is being written in a book. And your children and your grandchildren are sitting there and they're reading this book. All the little details about how you lived your life. What kind of story will your life tell? Sometimes we do that when we get out the photo albums and we look back and your children are looking at pictures of years gone by and they ask questions about what did you do there and what was that all about? Today we're writing our story. What are you writing? What is being written? For the remainder of the message, I would like to look at from verses 10 to 31, I would like to look at six traits of a godly mother. And I'm going to take them not necessarily in what may be the order of importance, but I'm going to take them more or less as I find them in these verses. I find in here six traits of a godly mother, and I will highlight the six traits, and then we will look at them in a little bit more detail. And the first one is her character as a wife. The second one is her devotion as a homemaker. Then her generosity as a neighbor, her influence as a teacher, her effectiveness as a mother, and her excellence as a saint. Now, I'm sure you probably excel in some of these, but maybe there's some where you need some growth. So hopefully this morning you can find some strength and encouragement for whatever you need in your life. So let's look at the first one, her character as a wife. And I find that here in verse 11 and 12, where it talks about the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. One of the main character traits for a wife, for anyone, is the thing of trust. A godly mother can be trusted by her husband. Trust builds and creates a healthy home environment so that children will thrive. Trust, one of the most necessary ingredients for healthy relationships, and especially in a home, and especially between husband and wife, father and mother. Now, in ancient days, back when this was written, the man of the house often needed to be away from home, and he would need to leave the care of the home with somebody. And it was a blessing if he could do that with his wife. Now, obviously, it was not always so. But how is it in your home? Can your husband trust you? And just to make it practical, maybe some of the things we sometimes talk about. Can your husband trust you? What about with the checkbook? Or maybe more applicable would be with the credit card. It says, he shall have no need of spoil. Do you spend what your money makes? Do you spend what your husband makes faster than what he can make it? A trustworthy mother not only strengthens the relationship with her husband, she is also an example to her children. Remember, mothers, your children are watching and listening to how you relate to the father of your children. And sometimes maybe it's not so much what we do, it's what we say. But are we talking, are we building that trust in the relationship? How can a person be a trustworthy mother and wife? Well, this Proverbs wife and mother here that we are looking at, she was in charge of what was in the home. She was responsible to use wisely what her husband provided. She needed to give account to her husband of how things were used and what was done. And in that whole scenario, you can feel communication. And I want to hold that out as a good way to build trust is talk about it. Clear, honest, open communication. And probably what I should be doing is talking to the people over here about communication, because maybe we're the weak ones in that. We think everything will be all right. But discuss the needs of the family together. Discuss your marriage relationship. Have plenty of conversation about you as husband and wife. And again, I'm not sure that our wives need to hear that, but we're thinking about trust and a godly mother being trusted by her husband. So let's leave that one and move on to the second one. And that is her devotion as a homemaker. And here we have the focus on being devoted. A godly, and I want to make this point from her devotion as a homemaker, is a godly mother counts it an honor and a privilege to be a homemaker. Vivian Gornick is a teacher of feminism at the University of Illinois, and she has been noted as saying this: being a housewife is an illegitimate profession. You know, there are far too many people in our communities that believe that. Being a housewife is an illegitimate profession. You know, one of the worst and most damaging harassments that's happening in our society is against the role of motherhood and the role of being a dependent wife. Just the fact that you depend on somebody else to make your living and supply your needs. And I wonder how many of us, of the Anabaptist people, you know, they'll say they don't believe that. But yet, how many of us struggle with a bit of shame knowing that our wives are just at home taking care of things? And we want some other label of identification other than being a homemaker. And I'm wanting to push back on all that this morning because, number one, we need to hold the position of homemaker, housewife, whatever you want to call it, very high and very important. And it's more just because we're saying that, but it's because it's God's will and it's God's design. That's really the power behind it is God has designed that there be a homemaker, housewife, somebody that takes care of things in the home. And we find that here in this passage this morning, that this lady that's being referenced here is devoted as a homemaker. Verse 13 through 19, we could spend time looking at all the little things that she did, but we find this virtuous woman. She was using her hands. She's not afraid of work. She's diligent. No place in her life for self-indulgence. No place for laziness. No place for inactivity. She's full of energy in the duties of home. Whatever the home required, that is what she did. Verse 13, she worketh willingly with her hands. She does that, says she brings food from afar. That's in verse 14. We often rely on our wives, the homemaker, to supply the food. And, you know, in ancient days, that took a lot of work. Now she bringeth food from Walmart. Maybe that's not your most enjoyable activity of the week, but it's still something that needs to be done for the sake of the family. Verse 14, she's willing to put the energy and effort into making sure her family is well fed and cared for. She's frugal. She's careful. She's willing to work even while others are sleeping. And I think that that's just a mother's special ability. And I think of all the hours of sleep that the mother in our home has sacrificed for her family. And I know you could probably all say that. It just sometimes amazes me. I wonder what they run on. But it says here about the candle not going out by night. And just the fact that they're 24/7. She works willingly and with joy. We're talking about being devoted as a homemaker. The devotion, the dedication that this takes. She finds delight in serving her family and their home. And here is really some of the importance of it. Her joy comes because she realizes she is serving God by serving her family. She's good with managing. She's good with planning. She's good with adding little things to make life rich and enjoyable. And I think right there is the key to knowing if somebody's devoted. Do they just do it because they have to, or are they actually taking time for the extra little details to make it special? God bless you in your devotion as a homemaker. Third one we want to look at is her generosity as a neighbor. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. A godly mother looks for opportunities to help others. And she teaches her family to help those around her. Notice a few important things about this character trait. She didn't wait for people to come to her. She went to them. She extended her hand to them. And she demonstrates not only a special devotion to her home, but she has compassion to those around her, those who do not have the privilege of being in her home or maybe a godly home. She reaches out. She extends her hand. It could mean that she gets involved in their life. She provides what they needed. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's clothing. She stretches out her hand to the needy. She doesn't just touch those who come to her, but she's reaching out. And I think that's a characteristic of a mother. They reach out. They help those around her. And we know that we have many, many opportunities to do that. And I had, as I pondered this, I had to think about our busy mothers, our busy wives, and all the things that they're involved with. It's like, don't they have enough just in their home? But yet, you often see a godly mother looking for opportunities to help others. And that, I believe, is God's way, as we see it here in verse 20. She reaches out. Number four, her influence as a teacher. Verse 25 talks about a strong person. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. This is her influence as a teacher. A strong person, let's just ponder that for a moment. A strong person is a person worthy of honor. It mentions that. A strong person is someone who is willing to go against the tide of the world. And mothers, I would say you have plenty of opportunity to do that. And I would encourage you to think about that as you think about living your life, your family, all the little details of life. You can either follow the way of the world, or you can go against and follow the way of truth. It's two different paths, and it takes a strong person. A strong person looks at matters of life and is guided by truth and not peer pressure or whim or fleshly desires. A strong person will know how to make practical application to truth, to God's truth. And it takes a person with character of strength to pass on these things. And that's what we're talking about here, is the influence of a teacher. So you need to be a strong person. And it's simply this: a teacher must have something to teach before they can have teach. So you need to have the burden in your heart for being a strong person, and then passing it on to your children through what we're calling here as being a teacher. And it refers to that here in verse 26, as it were. It talks about she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And I think that says so much about our mothers, that their ability to teach, and especially when you think of the law of kindness, and there's a lot in those, in that phrase that we don't have time to open up this morning, the law of kindness, but just the practical things, the spiritual things, the little things that make for a strong character. What can you teach your children about that? And I think that sometimes mothers, you have a better ability of doing that, and that's because you understand maybe feelings and emotions better than we men do, and you can communicate that better with your children, of how to deal with all those little hurts and struggles in life. And here we have the example of a mother opening up her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. God bless you in that, because it says that then she shall rejoice in time to come. That was in verse 25. That is the results of a good teaching plan, where you will be able to rejoice in times to come. And fathers, let's help out with that. Let's lead out in that. Number five is her effectiveness as a mother. And the key word here is effective. And we know that a mother is more than just bringing children into this world. And I want to make this point, that a godly mother is committed to the extensiveness of her calling. Verse 27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And maybe this is a summary of everything we've talked about to this point. But there is something that is something about a mother who has mothered well. And I'm thinking this morning that you as mothers this morning are probably your own worst critic. You're probably thinking and tempted to think about all the things that you wish you could have done different or should be doing different. And I would just say, be easy on yourself. Maybe this is where you should listen to your family, listen to your husband, and they arise up and call you blessed. And they thank you for all the things that you have done. And take that from them. I will say, though, if you're a young mother, you know, take the strength Take the courage to change. If you see something that you should be changing, take the strength, take the time to do that. If you have mothered a while, it's never too late to make changes, because you want to be an effective mother. But we need to understand the reality of life. When we think about family, when we think about children, and as I talked in the beginning about writing the story of our life, as a mother, you want to hold that pen tightly. You want to make sure you have written on every page of your child's life that storyline and how it's all going to turn out. And that's not wrong. But we need to reckon with the fact this morning that there's other things that come into that story that maybe we don't understand and we don't have control over. And what I'm saying is there's other influences, other things that will affect your child that are hard to know how to relate to. And I don't have the answer for all that this morning, but I just want to highlight the fact that you can be an influence in your child. You can be very effective in their life, and you need to focus on doing that, even though you might see them somewhere in their journey make a decision that you wish they wouldn't make. I would just say build that connection with them, keep that connection with them, and focus on being what you should be. And that I say as you can focus on, you know, trying to be the mother of the year, trying to be the most popular mom. But I think what we really want in this and what God wants is that you would pour your heart and your soul into being the person that God would want you to be. And that's brought out here in our last point, and that is a mother's excellence as a saint. Verse 29 says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. A godly mother realizes that only what is done for God will last. And the phrase here in verse 30 that talks about favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, that's actually, in the Hebrew, that is talking about outward beauty. And I think we understand this morning that the outward beauty, the outward appearance of the female gender is a huge commodity in the world. And that is deceitful and that is vain, as it tells us. Outward beauty may conceal a wicked, rotten heart. I would say this morning that there is nothing more beautiful than a woman that has a heart for God. A mother who makes her highest priority to follow God in all the details of her life. She shall be praised. It's a praiseworthy thing, and it's a rare jewel in our world of corruption. So out of all that we talked about this morning, I feel maybe this is where we should have started, but it's where the passage ends up. So that's where we're going to end up. Is mothers, don't neglect your relationship with God. You have a relationship with your children, which is very time-consuming, and it's very important, and it's very demanding. You have a marriage relationship that takes your input. You have a relationship with all your friends and your relatives. How can you have any time left for your relationship with God? I believe a woman that feareth the Lord will somehow make her relationship with God the first priority, and then she'll try to fit all that in surrounding that. And again, may God give you grace to know how to make that all practical, especially in your busy schedules. And I don't want to make this too idealistic, but I do want to hold that up for you this morning as a good way forward is to make your relationship with God the highest priority as you serve in the role of being a woman. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her works, of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So I had to think of the song that we're singing in chorus that says, well done. And if you hear that song tonight, I want that to be your special encouragement to be a godly mother, so that you can hear the words, well done, my beloved child. You have run the race, and now you're home. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done. So, mothers, this morning, take courage. God bless you in your role. Dads, husbands, children, I hope there is something this morning that you could also take with you and be inspired by. And most of all, that we would thank God for godly mothers, and that we would support them and help them. And together that we can run the race and be faithful. May God help us.